this new episode of Spotlight on Africa, a podcast by RFI English. I'm Melissa Shimam. Twice a month, this podcast looks at one major issue on the continent, one country or one idea at a time. This week, we speak with Chika Odua. She's the director of the platform Zikora Media and Arts, based between Senegal and Nigeria, and working with artists, journalists and filmmakers from all over the continent. This summer, Zikora has launched a new participatory campaign. It's called Decolonizing Beauty, and it is designed to educate the public and to celebrate the rich tapestry of indigenous and local beauty customs across Africa. Let's listen to the trailer.
Define beauty in the image of whiteness.
We need to decolonize what we view as attractive.
We need to expand what it means to be beautiful.
When it comes to this standard, this Eurocentric standard of beauty, being a person that's felt like I've been left out of the conversation of beauty, it's hard for me to even have the conversation because I don't know where to begin.
Due to the society we live in that promotes the European standard of beauty, many Black women can feel like their beauty isn't good enough.
For the complex relationship between colonialism and skin bleaching practices in Africa.
And the narrative goes something like this. A beautiful woman is or has Eurocentric features, you know, like a long skinny nose. She has fair skin.
The more you can separate a Black person from their identity, the easier and longer you can exploit.
The campaign wants to be participatory and will utilize a multi-platform approach to reach a broad audience of French and English speakers in Africa and around the world. To know more about the campaign and the roots of beauty stereotypes, here is Chika Odua, founder and head of Zikora Media and Arts.
Hello, Chika.
Hi, Melissa. My name is Chika Odua. I am based in West Africa, in between Nigeria and Senegal, and I am a multi-hyphenate creative person. I focus on journalism. I am also a filmmaker and a poet. So those are the works that I engage in.
We're here today to talk about the Decolonizing Beauty project. So first, say a few words about Zikora Media and how you had the idea to launch such a wide, continental and large project.
Zikora Media and Art is the manifestation of my passions that I've nurtured for years. And these passions lie in the fields of journalism and in more creative spaces, performing arts, performance art, literature, filmmaking. So it's really combining my love of these two worlds into one institution. But the way I like to describe Zikora is that it is both a media production company and a cultural institution. And we are very much focused on portraying and telling stories about Africa. We produce, we preserve, and we promote creative content and art, which captures the nuanced stories of Africa and Africans.
So obviously, visual representation of Africans were important to you. We have a lot of stereotypes when it comes to representing women, but also men, hair, skin colors, and then, you know, more generally, the beautifying industry. So what do you expect to change with a project like this one?
The work that we're really trying to achieve with the Decolonizing Beauty is to create awareness and to also mainstream images of Africans. We need to make it mainstream. Images of Africans, it does not have to be portrayed in an absurd context. It is not abnormal. It does not go against the norm. So images of Africans in magazines and television stations, on the screens, this should be a normal everyday reality. Currently, it is not. Whenever we do see Africans presented in mainstream media, it's often in a very exotified context, exoticized, I shall say. There's a lot of gazing upon Black people. gazing at Black people. So what we're trying to do is just to make it an everyday norm, because me as an African, this is my normal. You know, I wake up and I'm in West Africa, so I'm seeing the people around me. I come from an African family, so the faces that I see, you know, faces of Africans, this is my norm, but it's not the norm for many people around the world. And I do believe that this is part of a concerted effort to keep certain faces out of what is considered beautiful. And so with Decolonizing Beauty, we're trying to make it a mainstream reality to see Africans presented in the mainstream media platforms.
Do you feel it all started with a Western media problem? And there, maybe I should tell our listeners that you also grew up and lived in the United States of America. So you have this experience of both sides. And is this a responsibility maybe for media makers and content creators in Africa to be at the core of creating some other visuals for themselves?
Yes, I do believe that this is a two-way conversation. It's a conversation from the West to the West, from Africa to Africans, right? So as you mentioned, I did grow up in America. I was raised in the United States, in Atlanta, Georgia. I emigrated there when I was 2 years old. And being in the United States, I was confronted quite often with the reality that many Americans, they have very narrow understandings, perceptions about Africa. A lot of it is inaccurate. Some of it is outdated. They're still imagining Africa to be a place of lush jungles, you know, where there's not a lot of technological development. Africans are not driving in cars. They are not living in high-rise apartments. They're living in straw huts. So it's a very outdated view. It's also a view that portrays Africans as unattractive. And this is what I was confronted with living in the United States. So I always have this desire to address these misconceptions. And I always felt that I had a voice and I could use my voice to do that. And so this is all like a lifelong endeavor that I've been doing, a lifelong initiative. And so Decolonizing Beauty, yes, it is a continuation of a lifelong initiative to tell the world what Africa really is about and who Africans really are. And I do believe that as Africans, we should be at the forefront of really telling our stories. We haven't always had the chance to do that because we didn't know the power that we had. We didn't quite understand the political power of stories. But stories do have a lot of political power. It is, as you said, about representation. And so how countries are framed is about how they tell those stories. So Africans, we need to be a part of shaping perceptions about where we come from, because there is a lot of policy that comes out of it. This is about our political agency, our political currency, and storytelling is very much part of that process.
And thus, Decolonizing Beauty, it's a participatory project. Tell us a bit about how large the outreach can be. You're basically calling people to participate, creators, but also even beyond.
Yes, and that's really the way that Sikora Media and Arts is set up to work. We create and we collaborate. And we really believe in taking a grassroots approach from the down up. You know, we don't want to have an elitist approach to doing things. So we like to make these calls. And Zecora is quite new. This is our big major call out, our big campaign, ever since we launched from last year. And so Decolonizing Beauty is a 9-month multimedia, multi-platform campaign that captures the various expressions and notions of beauty and beauty ideals across Africa. And the importance of this, why this is so necessary, as I hinted on earlier, is that we live in a world that is increasingly dominated by Western beauty standards. And these standards are promoted constantly through pop culture and the global beauty industry. So with Decolonizing Beauty, we are asking for people to participate on social media, not just social media, but other outlets as well. So for example, we're reaching out to African filmmakers to submit films that speak to this theme. We're looking for African poets to write a poem that speaks to this theme. How do you interpret Decolonizing Beauty? So we're asking people to submit content. This is films, poems, social media videos, photographs, reportage that interprets the theme of Decolonizing Beauty. So therefore, this becomes something that's quite widespread, the campaign. It's something that you can do with your friend. It's very participatory. That's really the nature of it.
Thank Can you give an example of what you already received? So you are yourself from Nigeria, you're very connected to Senegal, but you may have received images that even yourself were not really aware of or surprised you, made you laugh.
Yeah, we started this campaign a few months ago, and the first project in the campaign was a social media hair challenge. And this hair challenge was, as it says, very much driven by social media, and it lived on social media. We used Instagram for the most part, and to a lesser extent, TikTok. And we called for influencers and social media users to recreate a traditional African hairstyle. This was for a cash prize. And the images that we received were just really beautiful. You know, there was one entry, a lady, the hair that she carried was very dynamic. It was actually yarn, a traditional yarning pattern that you see a lot in West Africa. And the way it stood around her hair was like spider legs. And I say that with all reverence because I like spiders. It looked like an insect, this glorious insect. And so this picture was submitted actually by the person who did the hairstyle on someone else. So she said, I did this hairstyle on my friend for this Sakura Media challenge. And I thought that was so great. So that was participation, you see. So she did this hairstyle on her friend for this challenge. And that's what we like. We like seeing people kind of collaborate with their friends and people nearby to be part of this, to help us to interpret what this means for you. We want people to kind of and think and reflect on this and how it affects their everyday reality. So it's almost a way of empowering people as well.
And then, of course, you presented the project as going beyond everyday beauty, the hairstyle. So I guess it includes fashion, but also makeup.
Yes.
Quite vast, isn't it?
It is very vast because I don't want us to, you know, have a narrow view of beauty. People typically think beauty is about women and beauty is about hair. Especially because hair is such an important topic with Black women, period. Because Black women are very creative with their hair. Mm-hmm. Because we have a type of texture where we can do so much with it. Because just the texture alone, it can stand, which people from other different backgrounds, they can't quite do that. Our hair can be very sculptural, and therefore it takes a lot of time in our lives. Black women. So hair is very important. But beyond hair, there is the fashion. And there's also body art that I wanted for us to take a look at. You know, we have certain cultures have traditional tattoos. And a lot of these tattoo practices were, you know, scorned by Islam and Christianity. But there are some people who are trying to go back to some of these traditions. So this is also part of what we call just, you know, the rituals of beauty. Beautification, what does that look like? And we see it oftentimes in the wedding space, in the context of getting married. We see it also in the context of rites of passage, from going from boyhood to manhood, from girlhood to womanhood. We see beautification rituals. And this is what I would like for us to kind of like think about. It's not just about makeup or your hair. There's something bigger. There's the everyday and there's the ceremonious. It's about the way you move your body language. So dance, you know, beautiful dance movements. There's so much ritual behind that. And there's some dance cultures where, you know, just the movement of your feet and the way you put your hands, it's all about beauty and elegance. And people don't quite use these words when talking about Africans, elegant. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at, for example, ballet, the Western type of ballet, what we understand as ballet, very beautiful and elegant and regal. Africans have that too, and this is all part of beauty.
One last thing is that a lot of people have expressed on social media also how beauty standards can be quite limiting and, you know, giving you just that, standards and what's beautiful and what's not. And I think for a lot of Black people, the experience of reaching out to beauty is also accepting differences in how we are. And so it's maybe not about looking like the perfect ideal, but much more about growing into the best version of yourself. So is it something that resonated with what you wanted to achieve?
Yes. And Melissa, I'm so glad you said that. I truly believe that the reason why the definition of beauty is so narrow is because it's being driven by profit. Mm. It's a very capitalistic venture. If we take the money out of it, then everyone is beautiful, right? But if we make it something that's dictated by profit, then you have to have a very narrow definition that we all have to be chasing. We all have to aspire to this. We all have to buy this product, this moisturizer, this hairspray to be beautiful. So it really has been driven by this capitalistic quest. And that's wrong. It's so much larger than that. It's about how you treat people, the way you speak, the way you present yourself. And this has nothing to do with money. This is out of the hands of venture capitalists. So if we can just take beauty out of that concept, I think it's very dangerous when people conflate the two. And I think, like, in the Western world, this is done so well with such craft. It's with such, you know, it's so crafty when they bring in beauty in the conversation of making money. And you see TV commercials. Is that really beauty? Like, this soap is going to make me beautiful? You know, so what is beauty? What is attractiveness? But let's just expand it beyond that. Our mothers and our fathers and our siblings, people are in our everyday lives, they have their own beauty. So that's also what I want us to remind ourselves. It's not just about putting on a product. It's much larger than that.
Well, it's a very beautiful message and goes beyond Africa, even beyond decolonizing. I think it's just, giving that beauty to people to experience as a form of liberation instead of conformity. So thank you so very much, Chika.
Sure. Thank you so much. If I can just add one last thing, it definitely goes beyond Africa. But the reason why I do think that it's necessary at this time to focus on Africa is because the narrative for so long has been that we are not attractive, we're not beautiful. And so this is a direct address to that ongoing message. We want to combat that once and for all.
Of course.
Hopefully we can all, you know, take something away from this. That's the goal.
Thanks again to Chika Odua for being with us for this episode. This was the latest from Spotlight on Africa, a podcast produced by RFI English. It was mixed by our sound engineer, Cécile Pompeani. Thanks, Cécile. And thanks to you for listening. We'll be back soon to comment on African affairs and elections. In the meantime, for more African and French news, go to our website, rfi.fr/en.